You know, I kind of looked the other way for those first 6 months. Now that's all I saw, trash everywhere. This is just disgusting. Starting to ask the Lord, could we not turn this into a short-term ministry? I'd really like to just go home now, please. And was miserable, absolutely miserable. Did not want to be there. And thankfully, again, God, in his kindness to Philip, showed him the... Can we turn this off?
We are not giving up, folks. The Lord in his kindness gave me another scripture. And I was just so feeling so far from home, so much a stranger and an alien, and really needed a reminder of my eternal perspective. If you are a follower of Jesus, you by default have an eternal perspective. You believe that Jesus has saved you so that you can live with him forever. As a missionary, by default, that's what gets you to the mission field, because you believe that is a strong message people need to know. We do not want them to experience separation from God forever. That bothers us. So all of that got me to the field, but that wasn't going to keep me there. It was a love for him that was going to keep me there, but it was also this truth. So I want you to follow along and just follow with me as I read Hebrews 11, not the whole chapter, but just a few verses that are so important and how the Lord used this in my life. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place, by the way, just for a second, put yourself in my shoes. You're in Macedonia for 6 months. You are super homesick. Okay? Feel that for with me for just a second. You are really homesick. You do not want to live where you're living. Okay? Now read with me. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now listen to this. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God used this passage and those words, strangers and aliens, to help me to see that I didn't belong in Macedonia either. My true home is the one I'm going to. When they put me under, I will be rejoicing in the presence of Christ. And that is my home. And what the Lord did with this passage of Scripture is reminded me, Philip, you're not home yet. Hang in there. It's going to go really fast. It's all temporary. And you are going to be home soon. For now, just endure this. And I read an article in a magazine called Discipleship Journal that was written by another missionary to Romania, Tricia Clement. And she was writing about this passage. And she said when she started feeling homesick, she would pray, Lord, make me homesick for heaven. And that's exactly what I started praying. Every time I saw the trash dump you know, just kind of falling all over the ground, the trash all over the ground, I would feel that little, ugh, and that was my trigger. Okay, Lord, make me homesick for heaven, where it's going to be just gorgeous all the time. If I made a language mistake and they laughed or something made me feel foreign, Lord, I don't belong here. Make me homesick for heaven. Prayed that again and again and again, hundreds of times. And he did. I became truly homesick for heaven. Like, I looked so forward to the day that he would call me home. That in that process, in his kindness to me, he made Macedonia home in the meantime. And so, yes, I really look forward to heaven. But in the process, in the meantime, the Lord has allowed me to have an address. Oslo 12A, Skopje, Macedonia. And for right now, this is my temporary home, as long as he allows us to live there. And that was a result, by his grace and from his kind hand to me, to just see this passage of Scripture, another mountaintop experience that stayed with me in the valleys. And there's a story that I came across in that season that just really, really struck me. I want to share it. It's possible that I've shared this before. It was written by Randy Alcorn, and I've since adapted it quite a bit. But in any case, imagine that you're holding on your lap right now a book, a rather big book, and it's the book of your life. On the front cover is your name, and the entire book is your story. You turn the page, and you see a beautiful picture of you as a baby and your parents, all the things that surrounded your birth. And you turn the page, and there's more pictures of you as a baby, page after page of beautiful pictures of you as a child, a toddler, then a child, then your first day in school, then all the way through your elementary school and junior high. We go quickly past those. And high school, college, your wedding day, your children, your first day on your job. You keep going, you keep turning the page. Just beautiful, beautiful pictures of your life. A great story, a great story. There's black pages too, right? There's a lot of pain and suffering. And you get to this one page and you see yourself in a rocker. You're old now. And you're just waiting. You're just waiting. And you turn the page and there's a gravestone. But for some reason you notice this book isn't done yet. So you turn the page, all of a sudden the colors turn brilliant, millions of colors of you and your first step, your first breath in heaven. And you turn the page, page after page, and you see you watch yourself exploring heaven. You're talking with the Apostle Paul, you're talking with some of your favorite saints from Scripture. You're in the arms of Jesus. You're in the great stadium of heaven worshiping. You're flying through the stars and the planets and observing all of God's hand. And it's all about you praising Jesus. But it's just absolutely gorgeous. It's your story. It's a beautiful story. Now you come to the end and you say, wait, you can't have an end. Well, the story has an end. Okay, so the whole book, it's not really an end. It's just your whole life is in one book. Now, if that were so, if you had to put all of your life, all of your eternal life into a book, realistically, how much of that book would be dedicated to this little short life? How much? The preface. The preface of the story of our eternal life is what this life is about. So the question is, what are we writing on the preface? What are we writing on the preface so that when we turn the page, whatever was on that preface is still going to be in the rest of the book? It's the souls of the people around you that are going to come to know Jesus, and you will walk into eternity and through eternity with them. It's the eternal word of God. You spend time learning this book, it's going to be with you all through eternity. So as you think about that person you're supposed to be discipling, the person the Lord wants you to reach and to care for, to bring to himself, and then to help him to grow in his faith, that person's name is going to be on your preface. We have Dubravka on the preface of our book. Back in 2018, we moved back to Skopje after a few months away, and we were moving into a different house. And one of the things we always pray before we have to move, we've lived four different places in Macedonia, is we always ask the Lord to put us in a place where somebody is seeking, so that there's a real reason why we're in that house, not just because it's the right size. And little did we know that Dubravka, our landlady, who lived on the floor right below us, was that person. My wife has spent hours and hours and hours on that porch. In fact, all during COVID, they would, even during the winter, because Dubravka was very, very concerned about all of that. So they sat 2 meters apart, and all through the winter, all year round, they drank coffee on that porch. And she went from being curious to loving Jesus. So in my wife's preface, there's the name Dubravka. When you turn the page, that page that goes on into eternity, Dubravka is going to be there throughout. Is that beautiful or what? And so my encouragement to you is to make disciples right here in Greensburg and wherever you live, knowing that those beautiful people that are in your life for you to influence are going to spend eternity with you. I'll close with one other verse that is becoming a very precious verse to me. And I just recently read a book. I highly recommend this book. It's called Sent, S-E-N-T, by Heather and Ash Holloman. You can find it on wherever you find your books. And I highly recommend that you read it because it will strongly encourage you spiritually. So in this book, Ashley and Heather Holloman encourage me to remember that John 20:21, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So, just like Dubravka, just like the others who received Jesus through us, there are people at your work, there are people in your neighborhood, there are people in your family that God loves so much that he sent you to them. You are an ambassador, a royal priest, a fisherman, and a farmer. All of those are scriptural allegories that relate to who you are. And God has sent you to them. You are sent. And that this book has really encouraged us in this the last couple of months, that reminding us that the people around us in our neighborhood, the Lord has put us in their lives because he loves them and he has sent us to them. But that goes for you too. So may the Lord use you, Calvary Chapel, members of Calvary Chapel, may the Lord use you and bless you, encourage you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much for the gift of your word that has, in my own life, been an anchor for me to stay in you. Lord, there have been mountaintop experiences where you have given me the word of God, and those words have sustained me in the valleys. And so I praise you for these words, and I pray for these that these life words would be life-giving to my brothers and sisters. and that they too would write names of people in the preface of their book, that they would be faithful to make disciples to those to whom they are sent. We thank you for their partnership. We thank you for the privilege of partnering with them to reach Europeans. But I pray with them that they would reach people right here in Greensburg and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lynn, could you come up, please? I told you at the end you'll be challenged to evangelize. How many of you are now challenged? Amen? To evangelize. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. They reminded us that we have been reconciled to God by his love and by his truth, has given us faith. But he not only reconciled us, but he asked us, he said, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. And we are to reconcile others in Christ Jesus. I thank God for your transparency in speaking about this. And the hard times, not just the good times, but the hard times, the challenging times. Because those are the times that give God glory. And I want to thank you for that. The Bible says, unto him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly and of all that we may ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen? That Holy Spirit power that works in us. We thank God for that. But I want to have us pray with you that God will continue to work with you, reveal himself to you, because we're still learning about the love that God loves us, the depth of that, aren't we? We're still learning about that. So can we pray with them before we go into our communion? Father, there are parts of your love, Lord, that we still don't even understand how much you love us. There are things about your love that we still don't even comprehend. I know I still wonder, Lord, why did you love me so much that you saved me, knowing all that you know about me? But your love just goes just that deep. It surpasses all understanding, passes all knowledge. I thank you, Lord. And I thank you for your call on the life of these two Christian vessels, these soldiers, Lord, who was willing to go into the battlefield to share your word. And Father, I just pray that you will continue to bless them, continue to protect them, guard their minds and their hearts. Let the word of God continue to dwell in them richly. I pray, Father, that they would never take their eyes off the mission, off the task, Lord, that you have blessed them with. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to lead them by your Spirit, that they will continue to stay hungry and thirsty for you and for your righteousness, Lord. Fill them in those dry areas and those dry spots, Lord, where they may want to seek water and can't find it. Father, fill them. Those times where they feel alone, Father, let them know that you're still with them. Your promise to them is still true. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Father, I pray that you will continue to just use them mightily, not only here, but in Macedonia and any other place, Lord, where you see fit to use them, in Jesus' name. And I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ, the same blood that saved them, is the same blood that will protect them and the same blood that will cleanse them in anything that they put their hearts to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to have communion at this time. I was just thinking as he was talking about those times when it was difficult for him. I know what you mean, when all of a sudden those things that we thought were beautiful now it gets on our nerves, right? After a while, I don't understand. Why do I still have to go through this? But we go through it because when we stop and we think about everything that Jesus Christ went through for us, it makes those things seem so minor. But yet we do. It's just true. That is just real. We have times where we struggle with what it is that we know God has asked us to do and called us to do. When we don't sense his presence or we don't sense his power working in us anymore, we question why this is so difficult, why that's so difficult. But we thank God that he's always with us, even in those times. So as we prepare for communion, I just want us to remember the things that Jesus Christ went through for us. All the things that he struggled with, the things that were so difficult for him, even when he cried out in the garden and said, Lord, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. So, Lord, we thank you that you remain faithful and that you went through all that you had to go through on that cross, Lord, so that we would be reconciled to you, so that we would have peace with God the Father, that you would appease him in what you did for us on that cross. We thank you for that, Lord. And we remember your sacrifice for us today. So even in the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. And Father, how can we ever forget the blood that was shed on that cross? How could we ever forget not only your broken body, but all the blood that was shed? The blood that cleanses us today. The blood that is just as efficacious today as it was 2,000 years ago. But in that same manner, Jesus also took the cup. And after supper, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which was shed for the forgiveness of sins for many. Drink this, and as often as you drink this, drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand together one more time. And the altars are here if anyone would like to seek the Lord or pray over anything. The Hildenbrands would love to pray with you. If you want someone to pray with you, there's always people here. And it's always a good time to pray at the altar.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice.